I learned that teachers that have many, 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 many rules have terrible classroom management. They never get anything done. The kids are worse with more rules. You choose 4 or 5 rules that are non-negotiable. You're in your seat when the bell rings. That's a rule. And it's a non-negotiable. You don't do anything different. You address the teacher respectfully. You raise your hand before you speak. Non-negotiable. Everything else is procedure. Procedures are rehearsed. Procedures are planned. Procedures are gone over and over again. So the key idea here, if we're going to do our theme, is to keep the list small and to repeat the list over and over again until we get it right. They're also very measurable. We're either not doing it or we're doing it. So I'm going to change the words here. Instead of calling it a habit, we're going to call it vital behaviors for Christians. And I'm going to ask you to give me, and you just give it to me in your head, to think about this. What are the 3 most important vital behaviors for Christians? In other words, if someone were to ask you, what are the 3 most important things that Christians must do all the time? Reduce the list to the most essentials. This is the list I came up with. Number 1 was read the Bible and pray daily. That's a non-negotiable. Christians read their Bibles. Christians pray. That's not up for debate. It's simply the mark of a believer. Another vital behavior. Well, before we get to that, let me explain how this fits into some couple things. Reading your Bible and praying every day, if it fits into our theme of learn, connect, grow of Berean Bible Church, that would be the learn and the grow part. Or another way to put that is knowledge and worship. We learn from reading God's Word. We worship Him through meditating on Scripture. That's a vital behavior, reading your Bible and praying every day. Another vital behavior, attending church regularly. It's a non-negotiable for the Christian. Christians that don't come to church don't grow. Christians that don't come to church aren't prepared to face a broken world, certainly aren't prepared to face the godless masses who want you to turn away from God. Attending church regularly is a non-negotiable for a Christian. It's a vital behavior. When we see that missing in the life of another believer, we have to step in and say, look, you're not doing this non-negotiable. This is very important for a believer to do. This is also part of learning and growing the knowledge and the worship. 2 vital behaviors. And I would like to think that all of us here, just by the fact you're in this building today, are doing that, attending church regularly. Now, what's the 3rd vital behavior? Now, I'm getting to my point here, so just be patient. Share your spiritual growth with others. That's a vital behavior. What does that entail? Well, that brings all of our 3 parts of our church motto, learn, connect, grow, together. Connect, learn, and grow, knowledge, worship, and real life application. Now, what did I propose earlier? I proposed to you that in order to remember our theme, in order to remember anything, we have to have application. Real life application. We have to take the truths that we learn and do something with it. And that's another teaching trick you learn. I learned some very bad habits my first year teaching. I learned that I taught science, so I could take like 50 boldface terms from the book, put a definition beside them, hand them to the students and say, memorize these. We'll have a quiz on them. We'll have a test. And they never complain. They're like, we'll do it. No problem. They take the test. They take the quiz. Most of them would do okay. Some of them wouldn't. I thought, that's teaching. That's not teaching. Because Why? How did I know? Because a week later, they wouldn't remember any of the stuff they memorized. Why? Because they didn't apply it. And I learned, thankfully, because I had some people who were good teachers around me, who said, no, 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 no. You take those words, you take those definitions, and you do something with them. You do a lab, you take a field trip, you do an illustration, you show a picture, you tell a story. You make application, Donovan. That's the only way people learn anything. And so I'm proposing to you that these three Bible behaviors, reading our Bibles, attending church, and sharing our spiritual growth with others, are three parts of a very important recipe, that neither of those have priority over the other. That in order to do one and two, you have to be doing three. Because if you're not doing three, reading your Bible and attending church regularly become easy to skip out on, because then you're not connecting with others to encourage you to come to church or encourage you to read your Bible. What are you saying, Donna? Are you saying that you're not learning anything unless you're doing application? That's exactly what I'm saying. A lot of us think we know a lot more than we really do. That is because we have a lot of knowledge up here, or we think we have a lot of knowledge up here, but we're not making application, and therefore it's really not sticking. It's really not staying with us. One and two are pretty specific. Number three is not very specific. Share your spiritual growth with others. Sounds great, Donovan. I'm for it. Let's have a vote. Of course you're for it. I didn't make it very specific, did I? And that's the way we like it. We want it to be open-ended. Okay, I can always say I'm sharing spiritual growth with others because, that's kind of broad. I'm going down to a business meeting here tomorrow. I'll be there tonight, but it starts tomorrow. And I'll get on a plane. I'll fly down to Florida. I'm meeting with my boss and several other managers. And we're going to go over my sales year and look at the next one. This is how my dream conversation goes with my boss. The boss says, Donovan, how's your sales year going? And I say, I'm sharing wonderful information about this product. And so many people are responding. And I've just learned so much, and they are learning. And I'm making progress in my territory and in my dreams. My boss says, that's wonderful, Donovan. I'm so happy for you. Here's $10,000 to keep doing that even more. Now, you and I know that's not what's going to happen. I'm going to go down tomorrow. Here's going to be the gist of the conversation. What did you sell last year? How much are you going to sell this year? And when I tell them how much I'm going to sell this year, they're going to say, that's not enough, sell more. That's business. That's how it goes. Why? Because it's measurable. Yes, all the little nice talk about sharing our products and making an impact, that's nice. But when it comes down to it, what am I doing that's measurable? What am I doing that's repeatable? What am I doing that's concrete? In business, we measure that in dollar signs. How do we measure that in the life of a church? And that's the big question. I'm not going to ask you to generate dollars. What I'm asking you to do, and what I'm hoping to model for you, are some things that we can all do, even right now in our seats, even before we leave this building together. Making it measurable. How do we make it measurable? And I got a lot of these concepts from a study we did in our shepherding group regarding the ministry of the pew. And I was trying to think, what are some things that our church people can do that's not going to take a lot of time, that's not going to take a lot of money, that's not going to take a lot of homework? What are some things that you and I can do, for example, before corporate worship? If we're going to share our spiritual growth with others, that's the goal, that's the vital behavior. How do we do that? Before corporate worship. Here are some ideas. Pray before you arrive at church. Here's another one. Deliberately choose to speak to fill in the blank. Ask God to help you to find a way to minister today. That's something you can do before you even walk in the building. That's a way to make application to the things that you're learning. It's measurable. You either do it or you don't do it. Remember, the behavior is share your spiritual growth with others. That's very vague. This is very specific. What are some things I can do to share my spiritual growth with others? Pray before you arrive at church. And one of my favorites is deliberately choose to speak to someone. Pick someone, maybe pray about it. Say, I need to talk to this person today. I need to share something with them. I need to ask them a few questions. You're like, that sounds like homework. You're in the car driving to church. Think of it then. You say, I'll forget. Well, that's why we're keeping the list very short. That's why we're keeping it to certain vital behaviors. What else? What about during, well, the scriptural command, a list here, Romans 15, 14, able to instruct one another. In fact, let's turn there. Let's turn to Romans 15, 14 and see what Paul says about this. We're going to look up several verses. Romans 15, 14. Go ahead and turn there. Now, before you come to church, you say, well, I don't know if I can choose to speak to somebody because I really don't have anything to say. Well, Paul says to the Romans, he says in Romans 15, 14, I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. You're able to instruct one another in your own way. Now remember what we said before. People need to hear your story. If you have no other Bible knowledge in your head that you can think of, the very least you can do is share your story. Romans 15, 14, the verse we just read, tells us that we are filled with all knowledge and able to instruct one another. It's very specific. Able to instruct, able to teach. Before corporate worship. What about during corporate worship? During corporate worship. You're like, well, I can't talk to anybody during corporate worship, or you'll kick me out, Donovan, because it's not good to disturb the teacher while he's teaching. That's true, but we can do things like sing with awareness. And what does that mean? Well, it means when you sing, you're singing to the Lord, but you're also remembering there are people around you watching you sing too. Like, well, they are? They're watching me sing? I watch people sing all the time. That's what I do. We were at the Wilds. I think it was last year. Maybe it was the year before, but when we were at the Wilds, there was about 900 kids there. There was a bunch of young people. And Lene and I are kind of sitting near the back, and the campers are all up front. And somehow, probably about 200 feet away, I saw this kid sitting on the aisle. And everybody else, when they're singing, they're just kind of, you know, singing. This kid is moving his head, and he is singing, and he's singing loudly. And he's not getting all disruptive or anything. And he's really into it. And I could see him, and I said, that boy is singing from his heart. I never forgot that. I think of that boy all the time. And I think, if God could give me a heart to sing like that. He didn't know it, but he admonished me. I was seeing word become flesh right there. And I thought, if he can sing like that, I can sing like that. And it was interesting. He was in a choir during the week. and I could pick him out of the choir. Now, obviously, the choir director told him at some point to tone it down. But you could see he was really holding back. Everybody else is singing, you know, singing their song, and he's going. And you could see he just wants to burst out. An expressive heart, engaging our hearts and mind as we sing, as we worship. That's something measurable. That's something that you and I can do or not do. It's very simple. The scriptural command is found in Colossians 3:16. Let's turn there. Colossians 3:16. And read a great admonition from Paul the Apostle to the church at Colossae. And Colossians 3:16. Again, keeping with the metaphor of the jars of clay somewhat, in Colossians 3:16, Paul says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Like, Donovan, I don't like you telling me what to do. Well, let Paul tell you what to do then. Now, how are we supposed to be doing this unless we connect with one another? Unless we remind ourselves to do this? We're going to forget. Singing with thankfulness in our hearts to God. What about after corporate worship? Now, this is kind of a laundry list. And I don't think we have to do all of these in one sitting, but these are some things to think about. After corporate worship, after we worship today, tell, name, what you learned from the message. Ask, name, what they learned from your message. You say, that's nosy. No, that's the Bible. That's specific. That's measurable. This is something I want to do. This is something you want to do. We'll forget, probably. But we're still commanded to do it. Whoa, almost dumped that water. Ask, name, how you can pray for them this week. Still kind of nosy, but not as nosy as what you learned from the message. Imagine if somebody asked you every what you learned from the message, you'd pay a lot better attention. I know I would. And I'm the one preaching. Share with names something you learned in your Bible reading or something helpful you read. Again, this is specific. This is measurable. And I put the scriptural commands and I ran out of room because there wasn't enough room on the slide. A lot of these are just the one another commands. Bear one another's burdens. Confess your sins one to another. Love one another. Be humble toward one another. Stir up one another to love and good works. These are commanded to us. How are we supposed to do these commands? We can read them. How do we apply them? And I've shared with you some very specific, measurable ways. And here's the problem. The problem is, Donovan, this is all, you're constantly saying things to us that we know. And a lot of you are thinking, tell me something I don't know. Okay, if you're not doing this, you don't know it. Is that clear? If we're not doing this, it doesn't matter whether we know it or not. It's doing it that makes the difference. It isn't the same as being nice. We're all nice. It's not the same as being conversational. This is being very deliberate and intentional. Can't you just teach me something I don't know? My answer is this. If we can't remember to ask someone what they learned from the message, if we can't remember to ask somebody how to pray, ask if we can pray with them, if we can't remember to ask someone what they learned from their Bible reading, how are we going to learn anything new if we can't remember to do this? I think that's a legitimate question. If we're not doing the things we already know, how are we supposed to learn anything new? Turn to James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. You'll see the dilemma with this. And the dilemma is explained here by James. James 1, 22 through 25. Here is the dilemma. The dilemma is, verse 22, James chapter 1, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forget what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. A hearer of the word is compared. The metaphor is rich here. The hearer of the word is compared to someone who approaches a mirror and looks in the mirror and sees the unyielding reflection, the unapologetic reflection of his true condition. That's what a mirror does. It shows us exactly what we don't want to see. And the metaphor is that a hearer of the word looks in the mirror and then simply walks away and forgets what he just saw. And the blessing here given to those who do not forget but doers of the word is very, very compelling. It says, but one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. This is good, Donovan. Why do we keep walking away from the mirror? We need to just stop walking away from the mirror. Well, you're going to keep walking away from the mirror. That's who you are. That's indwelling sin. We don't like what we see in the mirror. So for me to tell you to stop walking away from the mirror, I might as well pound sand. Walking away from mirrors, we are experts at doing that. Let's approach it another way. Here's a novel approach. Let's say this is the image from a mirror that you see. Okay, now it's not a person, it's actually a cat, an ugly cat. I chose an image that was purposely ugly. I didn't choose a person because I was afraid I'd pull something offline that was a relative of yours or something, so I thought, we'll use an animal. When we look in the mirror and we see that staring back at us, our first instinct is to walk away. And you say, well, the solution to that, Donovan, is for us to stop walking away from the mirror. Here's another solution. What if you can't walk away from the mirror? What if the mirrors are all around you? They're sitting beside you in the pews. They're lining the hallways when you walk out to your car. So instead of leaving church and forgetting about what I just said, or forgetting what I just taught about, because I even forget about what I preached last week sometimes, what about you come up to me and say, Donovan, it's good to see you. I hope you have a great week in Florida. And by the way, something you brought up last week I wanted to discuss with you, and I see myself again. And then I'm in Florida, and Doc sends me an email and says, I did this week, Donovan, and Lula Mae is sick, and Billy Bob has got a new job. And oh, one more thing, something you brought up, I wanted to remind you. See, I keep running away from the mirror, but when you have Christians who care and who love you, you can't escape the mirror because they're constantly reflecting back to you all the things you don't want to see and you would rather forget about. This is difficult. This is hard for Christians to do, to be mirrors. To everywhere you turn, you're holding up the mirror. It's like, get that mirror away from me. I already know that stuff. What's really tough is when we do something stupid, and instead of the one mirror, we get ganged up. And a bunch of people come up to us. This is like after a business meeting or something. I mean, you said something really stupid, and I'm going to tell you what you said. We need people to be doing things like asking us what we learned about the message, asking us how we can pray for them, sharing with us something to learn from the Bible, because we constantly need to see ourselves reflected back to us. That's the only way we can be doers of the word and not hearers only. This is why God gave us the church. This is why God gave us believers, so we couldn't get away with just hearing it, but doing it. When you're part of God's family, you have a wall of believers reflecting back to you your image. You want to be a doer of the word? I know you do. I know you want to be a doer of the word. Here's some advice. You want people to see Christ in you. You want people to see all they see as Christ. Let Christ be all they see. Go to church. Come to church. If you're in a good church, the people in the church will not let you forget what you just saw. If that doesn't work, I have another piece of advice. Get married. Because certainly your spouse won't let you get away with looking in the mirror and then going on and forgetting. And you laugh, I know. But do you ever stop to think that God gave you your spouse to help you in your sanctification journey and not to hinder you? And if that doesn't work, have kids. Because they most certainly will make sure that you are a doer of the word. They are watching. We are certainly very poor at applying biblical knowledge on our own, but when we do it together, it's more likely to stick. As I said to you before, I forget about things that I even preached about 2 weeks ago. I need to be reminded of those things. I even need to be reminded in a way when I contradict myself. Then I certainly would remember it. Donovan, you said this Sunday, but then you said this Sunday. What's up with that? You think that's negative? That is wonderful. That's what we should be doing. I'll never forget that lesson. I'll never forget one time, Pastor Vogel, we were up here singing a song. And as Pastor Vogel is wont to do, sometimes he would make decisions on the fly. And he says, I don't like that verse. I don't like that word in that verse. So take your pencils and scratch out that word and put in this word. And I was like, okay. And everybody did it. And I said something to him afterwards, like, well, I don't think we should have done that. I'd like that word. And then somebody else said, yeah, I don't think we should do that either. And the thing is, most people say that's a negative. That shouldn't be happening in the church. But I always remembered it. It's ironing, sharpening iron. I was in a church once where there was a song called Grace Tis a Charming Sound. You know that hymn? Grace Tis a Charming Sound. great song. And one of the verses, the chorus says, Jesus died for all mankind, and Jesus died for me. Well, at the church I attended in Greenville, South Carolina, it was a Baptist church. And for some reason, somebody wasn't really thinking right. They bought all new hymnals, but they bought a hymnal that was edited by a Presbyterian. You know where I'm going with this, don't you? All right, so we get our Presbyterian hymnals in a Baptist church, and all these songs have been kind of edited theologically. And the chorus said instead, the editor put in, Jesus died for sinful men. And when we sang that, we're kind of, what? Does that sound right? Jesus died for sinful men. Jesus died for all mankind. And one old gentleman in the church, it was his turn to sing special music. So a little bit of a controversy. So 2 weeks later, he gets up and it's his turn to sing special music. And guess what he sings? Grace is a charming sound. And when he gets to the chorus, he goes, Jesus died for all mankind. And everybody goes, Amen! Amen! It's controversial, Donovan. That's not good. Makes me want to go to my Bible and read verses like, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. It makes me want to learn more. We think of those things as negative. That's ironing sharpening iron. That's sharing your faith with others. That's putting some action behind the things that you learn. That's good. I have forgotten a million things said from that pulpit, but that's one thing I never forgot. Why? Because it had a little bit of an edge. There was a little story behind it. And sometimes to reach one another, we got to have a little bit of an edge. You got to take somebody by surprise. So tell me, Donovan, what have you learned in your devotions this week? Boom. How can I pray for you this week? This is something I learned from your message. What do you think about this passage? Have you ever read it? Uncomfortable? Nosy? Call it what you want, but that's how Christians grow. We learn by reading our Bibles. We learn and grow by coming to church. But by connecting, we apply that knowledge and it sticks. I pray that you will seek opportunities before, during, and after the service today to apply this theme. Let all see Christ in me. Let Christ be all they see. I've given you some specific measurable things that you can do or not do to help you remember that theme. And I need your help with this. If you don't do it for your brothers and sisters beside you, do it for me. Ask me. It's okay. I'm used to being uncomfortable. I'm used to being asked funny questions. I get more advice than you think I give advice? I get advice all the time. I give very little advice. But it helps me. It encourages me. It strengthens me. And it will strengthen you as well. I hope you all have a good week. Again, Dave will be preaching for us next Sunday. I will be here. Join us for communion. And don't let me forget to share these things again. There's got to be at least one of you who will say, hey, you forgot to share those again. Share those again. Don't let us forget, Donovan. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we've looked into a mirror today, and you know my heart. My heart is that I've looked into the mirror, and I'll walk away, and I'll think about something else within about an hour, and I'll forget. It's just who I am. I'm a sinner. I'm fallible. I'm just a jar of clay. Thank you, God, for giving me believers. Thank you, God, for giving me a church where I can't get away with that anymore. Because there are many, many mirrors here in our congregation who are willing to show me again and again and again what's in that mirror. Lord, I'm burdened. I am burdened. I think so much of myself, and yet I learn very little because I do not apply it. I do not make it part of who I am. Give me wisdom, Lord. Give me understanding. Give us understanding as we proceed. Lord God, we're grateful, first of all, that you've given us your word. But Lord, how distant your word would seem without believers in our lives to teach us the word and to share it with us and to encourage us with it. How empty my life would be without the fellowship of the believers who sharpen me, who teach me, who love me as family. Lord, bless us this week. Bless us as we go about our daily lives. And Lord, today, starting now, let Christ be seen in us. Let all they see be Christ. Lord, we belong to you. We love your kingdom. We are part of your kingdom. And we will serve you as our King. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming. You're dismissed. The Lord bless you.